Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. So we want to welcome Father Cyprian. We'll be celebrating his 25th anniversary today, that he's celebrating the Mass for us, a solemn Mass. And then also we will have a banquet after Mass in Father's honor. So we invite everyone to come downstairs for that honor of that we have here, of Father's 25 years as a priest. So you are welcome to come downstairs for that. And also a very special thank you to all that helped with the Mother Cabrini pilgrimage to make it a great success. Definitely thanking Father Cyprian for allowing some of the monks to come to support us with that. But then also all of the help, the participation, the supports, the donations, and obviously the prayers, offering the sacrifices. So we definitely had a great success. We had a record number of pilgrims this year, 185 registered. And then we also had the 7 religious. So thanks be to God for that. And then we had the blessing of Father Augustine saying his first Mass at the shrine itself. The epistle for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same spirits, and there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, and to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another the grace of healing in one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches, but all these things one in the same Spirit worketh, dividing to every one according as he will. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 18. At that time Jesus spoke this parable to some who had trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee standing prayed thus within himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Please be seated. Without monasteries, without religious souls consecrated to prayer and to the service of God, the Church will never recover from the present crisis. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Father Cyprian, dear Father, dear brothers, dear faithful, as I mentioned, we have the great honor today of celebrating Father's 25 years as a priest in our parish. One, in thanksgiving for all that he has done for us, not only just materially when we think about the pews that he and the monks have made for us, but then also kind of the spiritual direction that has been given to the parish, because one of the close proximity to the monastery down in Silver City. And then there's the benefit that we have of the monks passing through. And for me, it is a great honor to preach on this occasion to Father. In some ways, it is very humbling, being a priest not very long, and to preach at a priest's Silver Jubilee. And so in some ways, I took as inspiration some of Father's own words. Hopefully he doesn't mind me stealing his words. But he had given a conference in Kansas City last October. And it was, we can say, talking about, obviously, the religious life, talking about the work that the archbishop had done in a way to try to save tradition, to save religious tradition, especially in the religious life. And it was interesting to see that Father had brought out that the archbishop, in composing the rule of the society, had taken as inspiration the rule of Saint Benedict. In some ways, that's why I always felt we were kindred spirits anyway. But to understand that and to see that when Saint Benedict wrote his rule, it was a means that was used by many religious orders afterward, using that as a basis, because Saint Benedict understood the human soul so well. He understood of how the soul was to try to reach its perfection, to seek God. And so it's not surprising that the archbishop, when having to start the Society of St. Pius X, and therefore to create a rule for it, that he would not go and look to St. Benedict's rule. And through that rule, it is a means for us to seek God. And so from that, and listening to the conference of Father Cyprian, and talking about how, in the crisis of the Church, it is necessary that we have these religious houses, because the words that I quoted to you at the very beginning are words of the Archbishop, that we must have these religious houses, these souls that are dedicated to God, these souls that are willing to give of their lives and consecrate themselves for the glory of God. And in some ways, with the monastic vocation, it is an obscurity to somewhat. But if you had the opportunity to go down to Silver City to listen and to be at the Silver Jubilee celebrated down there, Father Hugo had mentioned, they're like the backbone, the monastic vocation is like the backbone of the Church. And how necessary it is for us to have them knowingly, that they are praying for the good of the Church, that they are sacrificing, that they are living their life according to the rule for that purpose. And as I say, yet in some obscurity, but it is something that God witnesses and sees, and then blesses the Church because of them. And so for myself, I'd mentioned to you, but there was always this interest in the monastic vocation. There was always something in the back of my mind. Then 2 Easters ago, after Easter, taking some of the boys down, I accompanied them down to the monastery. After just living the life for 1 or 2 days, I quickly realized that this was not for me, that I was not tough enough for that life. So I went humbly back out into the secular priesthood, of trying to fulfill my vocation in that, realizing that it was not to become a monk. But the life that they live, it is a life that is dedicated to God, all that they do for the glory of God. And that is when we see what the motto of St. Benedict of the Benedictines, or at Labora, to pray and to work, the balance that is there, the active and the contemplative lives, and how necessary the contemplative lives are. We that have somewhat of an active life, we need to balance it with the contemplative life. You know, being out in the world as a priest, it is very easy to get caught up with the active part of life. And so it's very good to be able to spend time at the monastery, at a religious house such as that, to come back to the understanding of the balance that all of us must have in the religious life, but even in your own lives too, that proper balance of an active but then also a contemplative life, that your prayer life must balance with all the things that you have to try to do and accomplish in life. It is necessary for you. And so the monks truly give to us that example. But it's also interesting to see from Father Cyprian's own vocation of talking to the archbishop and asking him at the point of when he had to leave his monastery to see what to do. And it's interesting to see the archbishop say to him, "You're a monk. stay as a monk. And thanks be to God that he did. Because now we see years later the fruit of that work, being blessed by God. I believe there's over 32 that are there at the monastery. And you see how it continues to grow. And you can see how God continues to bless that work. And these simple words by the archbishop, you're a monk. But that was the vocation that God has asked of Father. And now for 25 years that he has continued to work. To work and then to try to form other monks for that same reason. To fulfill the vocation that God has called them. To seek God. And that is why for all of us, that is the same purpose in our lives, is to seek Almighty God. It is for the love of God that we are created. And so for us, we just have to find what life that is in. Whether it's the married state, the religious state, whatever it may be, we have to seek after that. But it does require from us a generous soul. The generosity of asking God, of offering to God, to lead us in that direction. And as I say, thanks be to God, the Father was open to the suggestions of the Archbishop that he would continue that work of carrying on the Benedictine tradition and the traditional rule of Saint Benedict. But as I say, you can see how it is blessed. And for us, we benefit from that. As I say, because of the close proximity, that they do stop by as they're on their way to the seminary, that we have this touch with the monastic life. As I say, one, maybe to inspire vocations, God willing, among some of our young people, you know, whether being a monk or then being a nun. But as I say, also the inspiration that they give to us to try to find the proper balance in our own lives of the monastic and, or the contemplative and the active life. And how necessary that is. And so it's important for us, all of us, to seek after that, to seek God. As I had mentioned to you yesterday, those of you that were able to attend the Mass at the shrine, you know, the quote from St. Bernard of Clairvaux. One, St. Bernard was a great example of living the monastic life, of starting different monasteries, of basically bringing his whole family with him. But when he had asked himself the question, why do you come here? And I mentioned to all of us, we can ask the same thing. You know, why do we come here? Why do we come to this church? Why do we come to the pilgrimage? It is to seek God. It is out of the love of Almighty God that we would do these things that we do, give of our lives to God and consecrating our life to God, or of coming, maybe traveling many miles to come here, the sacrifices that are made. And so if you have already one of the cards of Father's Silver Jubilee, and it talks about just this idea of, say, the Spirit of God, of how it will last to the end of time, and is based on the love of God. And that is how then we can give our lives over to God. It is because we love Him, and we want to get to heaven. And so, yes, when we have these occasions to celebrate with, you know, a priest for his silver jubilee. It has taken a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work and the grace of God to get where he has gotten. But obviously, to continue to pray that he continues to serve Almighty God faithfully in that vocation. Because we see the fruit of it. We are blessed because of it. But it also requires from us a life of sacrifice and prayer too. to be able to help and encourage by our prayers and our sacrifices those that have separated themselves from the world, from their families, from everything, that they have dedicated themselves to serve God because they love God. And so, yes, we have the great occasion to celebrate with Father today. And I do encourage you to congratulate Father, to pray for Father, but also to appreciate what he has given up and the sacrifices that he has made in order to benefit the whole church. And so I think that is the best thing that we can offer to Father, is our prayers and our sacrifices for the sacrifices that he has made. So now I'll turn the microphone over to Father.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Father, dear brothers, dear friends, it's my turn to say thank you for these past few years. 25 years is not a long time. When you're 25 years old, what do you really know? A few of our families, a few of our parents here perhaps have been married 25 years or almost, or perhaps a little bit beyond. And it's not really that long. 25 years for being a priest, I could at least say I probably made all the mistakes possible twice. Father McDonald came to get my blessing to come and preach, and I absolved his sins. So yes, 25 years, maybe you become a little crazier, forgetting what you're supposed to do. And it was a pleasure to be able to send the monks to help you with the pilgrimage. Speaking of mistakes, someone asked, how far away is the Cabrini Shrine? And about 50 miles as the cock crows. And then after Mass, someone will say to you, Father, it's not 50 miles as the cock crows. It's 50 miles as the crow flies. But truly a priest is not an island. He's not a loner, because he's a father. And you cannot be a father unless you have children. That's what makes you a father. And ask any father here, the children help to sanctify the father. As the father endeavors to sanctify the children, to train them and form them, they also reciprocate. They train and form him too in a certain way. That's the beauty of the family. This is the way God meant it to be. That is, an institution of perfection. When you've been married for 25 years, husband and wife are more mature and holier and more humble. It is the same for a priest. We hope and pray. A bit more humble, yes. And the past few years of being able to work here somewhat with the parish in Denver has been a few of the most important years of my priestly vocation. your friendship, your collaboration, your encouragement have been a very important part of my priesthood. This is why I accepted to come today on the invitation of Father MacDonald to come and to celebrate another Jubilee Mass at his special request, to be able to come in person and to say thank you for some of the greatest friendships and encouragements I have ever known for the past 25 years. What little we can do to assist you and serve your souls, not just giving you a place to sit down during the Mass or kneel down, but to give you a source of encouragement and consolation, knowing that the monks pray for this parish, for your souls. Father was talking about the monastic life, and it is one thing to conceive of religious, perhaps female religious, nuns praying so naturally in their convents, in their chapels, praying for souls, praying for the world, praying for the church. But something very different to imagine men doing this. It's not the same. Men pray differently than women pray. Women pray so perfectly, and men struggle. We have to be more like soldiers, and to fight, and to work, and to suffer. It is not that natural. And yet the monasteries are something God wants. And the Archbishop, as Father was saying, encouraged us to continue. Continue, in a certain sense, to go against the current and to persevere. As the monastic priest, it's a bit different than the little Latin maxim we say in Latin class, pueri sicut naves a posteriori gubernantur. Buoys are like boats, they are steered from the rear. Whereas the priest, the monk priest, has to lead from the front, like in the army. And he takes the first hits. He takes the first challenges to his army. And then he has to guide his soldiers who will follow him into combat. This is what it's like to be in the monastery. For we follow Saint Benedict, we follow the saints, we follow our Lord. And when a priest is victorious, it is the work of God. And when a priest fails, it is only himself. And this is what keeps the priest humble, knowing that his work is not his own work, it's the work of God. And if he has shortcomings, then it is for his humility to help him to become more dependent upon God. No priest is alone in his work. The people should always support the priest and pray for their priest and be united to their priest. A priest is only a figurehead, only the tip of the iceberg, something much greater that is seen only in the person of the priest. The rest can only be seen by the eyes of the faith. And as the years go by, you can testify more easily as to the daily miracles that God performs through his priests, and many times, in spite of his priests, offer the greater good of his beloved people. I was happy to send our dear Father Augustine, our newly ordained priest, to help you on your pilgrimage these past few days and to offer one of his first masses for you, because this is the very essence of a priest, is to be free. He is a gift of God for the people, for the church, for the world. And I'm happy to give away what God has given to us so freely. And as often as need be. We're also happy to help with various missions. Some missions just starting up. Other missions needing help, replacements for priests resting, traveling. To serve the church by filling in the ranks. Again, if we have the help, we are happy to give it away. Again, this is the nature of being a priest. What God gives to us freely, we pass it on. It is a free gift. And that which is the greatest that God can give to us is the freest. So today I wanted to come, as I said, to thank you in person for all you have done for us, your support. And every priest has an origin, not just the faithful who support him. He has a mother, he has a father. My mother, God rest her soul, passed away when I was a young man. But she came to Mass wearing white gloves and a hat with mesh in front of her face. That'll give you an idea when she was living, what years, and maybe how old I am. My father is still living. He's 89. He's a World War II veteran and still alive and kicking, mostly kicking. I do have siblings as well. Some think I'm absolutely out of my mind, and others support our work. Truly, the crisis divides families right down the middle. That division of confusion, that division of misunderstanding, that division of prejudice, that division of judging too quickly. We are all part of this mystery of what's happening today. And to be able to be a priest today in these circumstances of warfare, of confusion, of chaos, of battle, is a great grace. 25 years have gone by of celebrating Mass every single day, and on Christmas and All Souls Day, 3 Masses, are traveling on the missions, celebrating several Masses on one day. My last day that I was actively traveling for the Society of St. Pius X, I celebrated 4 High Masses in one day. 4 High Masses and 4 sermons in 3 different locations. The following day, the Archbishop died. It was in 1991. I will never forget that day when your spiritual father passes to his eternal reward. People ask me, do you have a relic of the Archbishop who ordained me in 1986? I say, I think I do. I have my hands that he anointed and consecrated. These are my relics that I treasure from the Archbishop. And May these masses continue. May the priesthood continue. And the priests who have put in more years than me have been my older brothers, the newly ordained priests, younger. They are our younger brothers. And in the most united family that exists, which is the priesthood, bound by the bonds of the precious blood, bound together by the bonds of fraternal charity, there is no closer union between any souls than there is between priests, the fraternity of priests. Pray for the unity of priests. The devil tries to break that unity every day and to separate, because the priests need each other too, for counsel, for encouragement, and for a good example. You have some of the finest priests in your parish here. You prayed a long time to receive this church, to build this church, and then to establish a residence for your priests so that you can obey, you can follow, you can have a leader, and to be led by a good shepherd. When we read the Latin Gospel of the Good Shepherd, it is so beautiful. I am the Good Shepherd. But when you read the Greek, it's even stronger. I am the Shepherd, the Good One. That's the way the Greek reads. I am the Shepherd, the Good One. This is the way our Lord originally said it. The Good One. There are many shepherds, but how many good ones? You are blessed to have the Good One, many good ones, and you should be thankful to God for that grace. How long you prayed, starting out from nothing here in a mission, then a small church, and then building courageously against all odds, and now a school. And what is next? God only knows, because it is His work. It is not our work. It's God's work. And if we had to do it all over again, what you have gone through to be here, what your priests have gone through to serve you, if you had to do it all over again, would you do it? Of course you would do it. Because you would not know any other way. This is the only way possible. There was no choices. There is no choice. It is God's work, and we simply collaborate in our own way possible, according to our very fragile human nature. If we could all do it over again, of course we would do it again. And there's no greater joy. I say this to the future vocations here present. There is no greater joy than to serve God. To be a priest, to be a religious, and to be both. There is nothing greater. Nothing greater. It has its difficult moments. No one is tempted like a priest. No one is tempted like a religious. The devil saves his heavy artillery for his biggest enemies. Think of all the obstacles to stop this church from being built. Think of all the obstacles to the growth of this parish. Think of all the barriers and roadblocks, all the betrayals, all the misunderstandings that have preceded the establishment of this great church and this great parish. And in comparison with the joy of worshiping God here, there is no comparison. There is nothing. And so I say to the future vocations, if God is attracting you, if you have that least attraction to serve God at the altar of sacrifice, where you have to be the sacrifice, lived out every single day, It is God already speaking to you. If God is inviting you to live for Him alone, in a life of prayer and sacrifice, in a life of intercession, and you look at the crucifix, how can you say maybe to God? It is the greatest joy to say yes, but then that yes has to be lived out. Just as when you make your marriage vows, it is one thing to say, I do one day, the next day has to be said again, and again and again, until the day you die. Because every single day, as the priests begin their prayer, the first words they say whenever they open their breviary and they pray in the name of the entire church, when the priest prays, the church prays, O God, come to my help. Make haste to assist me. Help me to pray. 8 times a day, the priest says those words as he prays for his spiritual children, as he exercises his fatherhood, and then the Mass every single day, raising up his people in the chalice with the precious blood, those drops of water, symbolizing the faithful, raising them up to God every single day, again and again, until they all get to heaven, until the last one is saved. That's the life of the priest. And when the people are suffering because their cross seems too heavy to carry, the priest carries it for them through his prayers, through his Mass. Because he is the good one, the shepherd who is the good one. And we thank you for your prayers for us. A priest lives on prayer and nothing else. You can buy treats for your priests. You can fatten them up with pizza and ice cream, like we're going to do pretty soon after Mass. But pray for your priest. This is what he truly needs. A priest lives on prayer. And he is a living sacrifice. It is not easy. It is something very strange in today's modern world. Strange indeed to find a man of prayer, a man of sacrifice. It is something rare and becoming more and more rare perhaps. But it seems that the saints were right. 1 out of 2, 1 out of 3 children has the vocation. Let us encourage the following generations of priests and religious vocations and encourage them by praying for them. It is not an easy path to walk. No path walked following in the footsteps of Christ is an easy path. The cross is present when there is the true vocation, whether it be marriage, the clerical state, the religious life. The cross is present where it is the will of God, and you will never escape, but embrace that cross as the ladder that you climb that leads you to heaven. It is your salvation. And we embrace that cross, and the priests are here to help us to embrace our cross and to carry our cross as Simon of Cyrene, helping to carry the cross, as Veronica wiping the face of Jesus. Never do we have the right to consider where we are, how much progress we have made, until that moment of consolation when God allows us to see the imprint of our face in the veil of Veronica to see where we stand, see how we look. Only in the midst of fidelity to the cross can we see accurately our true face. And so today we give thanks for all the priests. Let us not talk about ourselves on the day of Jubilee. Let us thank God for all the priests. All the priests celebrating their Jubilees or not celebrating their Jubilees. All the priests who are persevering today, needing your prayers, needing your encouragement, needing your charity. This is progress. St. Thomas tells us to make progress, there must be an increase of charity, an increase of God in us. And that is no small thing. And yet, coming here from time to time, I see true progress. I see the increase of charity. And may this always be on the increase from this day on. More and more charity that God is living in your souls. May that presence of God, that presence of His divine charity always be the sign marking your spiritual progress in the growth of this great parish. And once again, thank you. And we'll proceed with the Holy Mass, the way that we thank God through the Mass always. And praying for all of you, especially during this Mass. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.